The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's 4 minutes past nine. It is Wednesday morning. That's the 11th of December, if you're keeping up. And we are here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. And you can email ryan at rte.ie. It's quite mild outside. It's quite nice, as it turns out, after yesterday. I darted into town just to try and catch up on some shopping in between things. Quite hard because, there's a lot of running around to do. And then there was this rain and wind. And I looked across the road at a woman struggling with a really, really cheap umbrella that obviously she just plucked out of the back of her boot and said it'll do fine, without realising that it's probably worth putting more than £3 into an umbrella, because she kind of, at one point, the wind grabbed her, like it kind of felt like she got kind of hit by the wind, you know, and she threw back as the umbrella came back in her face. The way, you know, the way it does that? And God help her, and she caught my eye and I caught her eye and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, not really. It wasn't going her way. There are days like that where the wind conspires to blow the... She could have been walking the other way and the wind would have been in her sails and she could have headed all the way down with the umbrella. But she was going against the tide. and there was a lot of that about yesterday. I met a heap of people. I haven't been to a shop called the Kilkenny Shop for a long time on Nassau Street. And having a little lunch up there at the window, looking down on Nassau Street and across into the cricket grounds at Trinity and watching the traffic and the people go by. That was a nice way to spend half an hour with my eldest. We met to catch up and see what's happening in the world, who's buying what, who's getting what for whom. But it was busy. It was like a very, very, very busy place. I even tried on a jumper at one point, but I really couldn't do it because a lot of people enjoyed the toy show. And even when you're trying to put on a jumper, they still want to talk to you about the toy show. Are you going to buy that? I said, "Well, I'm thinking about it. Yes, yeah. Can we have a picture?" "Yes, you can." And I tell you who I stood for a picture with: a lovely man and his daughters who were over since mid-November from Australia to visit family. And they were telling me they were using Dublin as a hub to bounce over to other relatives in Europe while they were here. And I was asking his kids, because they'd have watched the toy show, but they were Australian Irish. So they were. I said, "So are you Australian or Irish?" "Well, we're a bit both, to be honest with you." And they covered the two. So very much the emigrant experience and all these people coming home for the festive season. So that was nice. And we're preparing, meanwhile, our marathon show for the Late Late on Friday night, which will be largely a special to commemorate the wonderful singer-poet that is Shane McGowan. And there's just a cast of thousands and some great tunes and some big surprises. You will want to see that. We got a massive response to our dentist yesterday. If you didn't hear him, he was just wonderful. Padraig O'Rachtagán, and he was talking about domestic violence. I'll just give you a little flavour of some of the stuff that came in on that. Listening to you and Padraig, I remember my granddad, says the text, who was a dentist, talking about a woman he treated for the same problem, domestic violence. No matter what he said or offered, she was too scared to leave. And the frontline staff are so important. Elisa says the genuine care from that dentist is so apparent across the airwaves. It takes just one listening ear, one person who's not too busy to listen, and one simple action and look what is achieved. I had a teacher exactly like that, and I'm grateful to kind humans in this world, and warmest wishes to this gentleman. And Sheila, who says, "I've been in hairdressing for the business for the past 40 years. I've met the most amazing people in that time. I've listened to some harrowing stories from young and old and rich and poor." Isn't it funny that the hairdressing chair, because you're relaxed. I don't know if it's the same for fellas in a barbershop, but I think probably more you're longer if you're getting your hair done as a woman, I think. And you probably have this great relationship if you're going to the same person. You often hear people get upset when that person's not there. You can go, "It'll never be the same. Those other people have different hands. They wash the water they use to wash the hair is too, it's tepid. It's just, and everything's wrong." But you will talk and you unload because it's a peaceful time. As Sheila says, hairdressers are often underestimated. I talk to my staff about how to listen to people, and sometimes it's in these situations it's starting to talk and opening up to an outside person that makes people understand there's help out there and they are not alone. And that's just a little flavour. There's pages of it here, just people with their stories and talking about it's listening is the answer to that question. Listening, people actually being able to talk and having the right place to let off some steam, but also more importantly to maybe tell a secret that it needs to be told and then dealt with appropriately. And a lovely email came in from Una to say, I was listening to you telling of your visit to Our Lady's Hospice and how you saw two families going through their own sadness and how they needed to be minded. Well, we were that family on this day 9 years ago. It was the time of the big snow, 2010. My family had arrived home from the US and Australia to be with Dad in his last few days. And the staff at the hospice were wonderful. And that's exactly what they did. They minded us. All the staff, without exception, were wonderful towards my dad in their care and compassion in his last few years. The care assistants, the nurses, the doctors, the catering staff and the chaplaincy team, all of them treated my dad and all the other residents with the tenderness you would see if it was their own parent or family member. And you said you were there to launch the exhibition of the history of the hospice. Well, our family had our own bit of history when we had the baptism of Dad's youngest grandchild in the hospice chapel. And they told us this was the only christening to take place there. And I want to thank all the staff and volunteers for everything they did for our family and continue to do so for all the patients, residents and families. It's a special place. So happy to pass that on. It's nice that you were, that memory arose for you again. I met a lovely woman yesterday in the course of my travels and she said, you did an interview with a rugby player who came out of the closet, so to speak, not too long ago. And I said, yeah, that's Gareth Thomas. She said, I was driving along to work on the M50 listening to that and I was crying my eyes out. You know, do you ever look into a car and see someone crying? Are they happy tears or sad tears? You know, it could be good news, bad news. But anyway, she was one of these people and she said, burst across. I said, why? But she said, because only the week before my son in his late 20s came out to me. And I was sad listening to Gareth Thomas talking about all the wasted years of his late teens and into his 20s when he wished he could have been. And she said, I wished I could have been there for my son. And I rang him immediately afterwards to say that. I said, but is he happy now? And she said, yeah, he's really happy. And I said, so you're going to have a gorgeous Christmas together and he's liberated. And she said, yeah, it's going to be special and it's going to be different. And it's just lovely to know that the stories count, that people come on and say, why am I, sometimes people say, why am I even telling this story? And I always tell them, because you're going to comfort somebody and make them feel a bit less alone. And that's exactly what happened with that. And that's just one person who I met. Imagine other people who are doing the same thing in silence. Let me look at some of the items in the papers before we go to a letter or two. The letters coming in. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who sent letters, either handwritten or emailed for our On Post letter competition. You're being very generous with your souls and your hearts in terms of telling stories that have completely touched you and that you want to share with us. And we'll share some of those with you in a minute. Do you remember I mentioned the Olivia Newton-John's jacket from Greece, the leather jacket, and the billionaire bought it. He paid £185,000 sterling for the jacket. And what he did with it was, what's he going to put in a case, and put in his house or his mansion, wherever he lives. It turns out he decided that he wanted to give it back to her and say, no, that's a gift for you. It's yours. You're the icon. You deserve the iconic jacket. That's kind of generous, isn't it, if you're a billionaire and you can do such a thing. Nice thing to do. Children of a certain vintage, that is to say anyone my age, will remember Wurzel Gummidge and John Pertwee and Mr. Crow and Aunt Sally and the gang. That's part of our childhood. Well, they've reinvented it. And Mackenzie Crook will be playing, you might know him as Gareth from The Office, will play Wurzel Gummidge. And Michael Palin is going to play a character in it as well. And I saw photos of it this morning. And actually, I'm not joking. I thought it was a protest, an eco-protest. They look like, you know, the dreads and the... You might see them once upon a time in the 80s in Air Square listening to something happens. But as it turns out now, they're delighted with themselves. And they, if you look up, just Google image, Wurzel Gummidge remake, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's quite exciting. I think that'll be very, very interesting to see how that pans out. Wurzel Gummidge was created in the 1930s by the novelist Barbara Euphon Todd. First book was published in 1936. I did not know that. Scientists called for a complete ban on glitter because the particles are polluting oceans and hurting marine life. Glitter is cancelled. Stop it. The Frames, wonderful Irish band, set to celebrate 30 years with a special one. 30 years! That does make one feel a little older. One-off special show at the Royal Hospital Kilmainham next summer. Tickets on sale this Friday at... No, it's Friday 13th. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Friday 13th at 10 a.m. Great. Frames and special guests. Saturday, June 20th, 2020. June 20th, 2020. Good. That'll be a great gig. Glenn Hansen and the gang, wonderfully talented bunch of people. Some great tunes down through the years. Magnificent. Her.ie have given 9 books to read while waiting for season 3 of Succession. Succession is the best TV drama of 2019. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. And they have these books that they think that The Dinner by Herman Koch is one. I've read that. An evening in Amsterdam when two couples meet for dinner to discuss their teenage sons. The boys have committed a horrifying crime, caught on CCTV, but they remain unidentified except by their parents. What to do next? Good book, but not a great book. The Immortalists is there. I haven't read that. Commonwealth, The Darlings, Crazy Rich Asians, We That Are Young, The Nest, American Royals and 6 Wicked Reasons by Joe Spain, which I haven't got to yet. And I see one of my favourite books of 2019, Fleischman Is in Trouble by Taffy Brodesser Ackner, is in there as well, which is a good suggestion. I must do a sort of books I loved this year piece next week when I'm going through towards the end of the 2019. Okay, I think I'll leave the papers there for now. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie.